it and got away. Back upfield to the 35, to the 40. He's to the 45. He's to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10. He's all the way home. Holy moly.
To the American end, 55 seconds. It comes back to center ice, 38, 37 seconds left in the game. The Americans on top, 4-3, 28 seconds. The crowd going insane, 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Good morning. Man is about to launch himself on a trip to the moon.
2-1-0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
What a moment.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
Roger, understand. Go for landing.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
It appears that there is more and more fire and smoke enveloping the very top of the building.
That looks like a second plane.
We do want to turn now to the deadly and historic flooding in the Midwest.
At least two people dead there, two others missing as the water reaches record levels.
Neighborhoods in peril after water rushing in, the National Guard using helicopters to rescue people trapped on their roofs.
We have breaking news out of Paris. We're getting word of what appears to be a fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral. You can see the smoke in these pictures. You can see the flames shooting out of the roof.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream today.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Let's say it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I'm going to ask you to work with me here this morning just a little bit at the beginning of the service to give some response. I'm curious what kind of emotions were stirred up as you watched the Johnny Rogers run or the Miracle on Ice or the landing on the moon. Just throw out any emotion that was maybe stirred in your heart as you watched those. Excitement. Yeah, good. What else? Happy. Good. What else?
Pride.
Yeah, good. Good. How about when you saw the other events like 9/11 or the flooding, the tragedy in Paris as well? What kind of emotion was stirred up then? Sadness. Overwhelm. Yeah. Shock. Exactly. Exactly. I wonder what kind of holy response we had. Holy moly, we heard that with the Husker touchdown. Even those of you who weren't old enough to remember, those big events ushered in change. They ushered in change. Things were different in this state. I'm told I wasn't here back in the game of the century when number one Nebraska triumphed over number 2 Oklahoma after being down in the fourth quarter. The national psyche was different when a bunch of teenage hockey players beat the professional Russian team in the 1980 Olympics. The spirit of our country was indelibly altered when we touched on the moon and saw one of us walking on its surface. In our national conversation, we've raised questions over the years like this: where were you on 9/11? How were you affected by the flooding that took place in just the last couple of months? How far have we really come in realizing Martin Luther King's dream? And certainly, are there still walls that need tearing down? Almost 2 millennia ago, an early first century movement of ragtag fishermen, tax collectors, rabbinical school dropouts, and non-religious types. They were hopeless, and they were stuck in the pit of despair. Their charismatic and controversial leader had died along with their hopes and dreams of heaven on earth. Their hope that God would establish a new kingdom. And then the unthinkable happened. In the outskirts of a city called Jerusalem, in a borrowed tomb, a stone was rolled away from an entrance, and a dead man came back to life. And his name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. And today, that's why we're here celebrating. Celebrating history that's been passed down for 2,000 years. And we're gathering with folks around the globe today. The fact that Jesus has conquered the arch enemy of all humankind, the enemy of death. And his closest cousins, guilt and shame and hopelessness. I bring you greetings from 4 continents from our mission partners today. They are celebrating Easter like no other, out in the streets, and they're giving God praise in a very minority status in many of their communities that they worship in today. But today we're here to talk about the greatest and biggest event in the history of the world, bigger than even the game of the century, and one that still should evoke the question, do you believe in miracles? The event is so central to the Christian faith that a man named Paul, who was a first century rabbi, wrote these words just a few decades after Jesus died and rose again. This is what he said: if Christ hasn't come back to life, your faith is worthless and sin still has its power. Then those who have died as believers in Christ no longer exist. If Christ is our hope in this life only, we deserve more pity than any other people. That is the good news that we proclaim at every funeral. And it's the one that those of us who lost ones close to us, near and dear, can hold tightly to. That because he lives, they are alive today, and we shall live also as well. And so this morning, we're going to consider some big events in our lives, okay? And there's no big event or small event too small or big event too big that God won't use to speak into our lives that could change the very trajectory of the way we see life today. Okay? Now, I think when you consider big events, it's interesting to think about that we can all look at the same event, but very different responses can be elicited from each one of us. And that's no truer than at Easter. And so that's what we're going to dig into this morning, that story of Easter. Because one response to a big event is that a big event can bury us. It can literally bury us. When Jesus was buried in the tomb, the rumor was out that this man was going to rise from the dead. Again, a first century account of an author, his name was Matthew, wrote these words: the next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what this deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." The Roman leader, Pilate, replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted the guards to protect it. It's amazing, isn't it, what others will do to bury hope. To bury hope. Although most didn't believe it was going to happen miraculously, the authorities didn't want anyone stealing this body and making up this story. So they put guards in front of it as if they would stop the God of the universe. I want you to imagine, just for a moment, imagine if you were one of the guards at the tomb. Okay. You might be asking, how did we pull this duty? Who put us on this shift? My recruiter told me I'd see the world. I've heard that from some of you too. And here I am with these fanatical people. Commander must have it out for us. And so as one of those guards, you drift off to sleep and you've got your back up against the stone, against the tomb, and suddenly there's an earthquake and the stone behind you begins to move and you stand up and you look and you realize that this dead Jewish guy that you've supposed to have been watching is now missing. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to save your hide, aren't you? Right? Because we know that the consequence for him being stolen was going to be death for those guards. Well, we actually have an account of what happened. Again, from the book of Matthew. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole the body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you, so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Still happens today, right? Bury it and throw some money at it. It's never worked then and won't work today. Our life experiences, big or small, can often leave us scared, can't they? A little confused, a little dazed. We can feel buried by them. We can try to deny the truth of the situation. We say, if I would just wake up and it would all go away. But perhaps this is the Easter, when you consider there's another option to burying your situation, to staying entombed in your reality, and to believe that the very God who raised Jesus from the dead is trying to get your attention this morning because he wants to reset our reality. He wants to reset our reality, okay? I know there's been many times in my own life I believe that my situation is just going to be permanent. The way I feel in my gut will never change. Easter is the reminder that no matter what your situation is this morning, that hope is always available. You know, think about this for a minute. Everyone who had done life with Jesus with him, everyone who had learned from him, everyone who had eaten dinner with him, everyone who'd sat around the campfire with him, everyone on that Friday night, they believed that Jesus was dead. They believed that he was just a powerful speaker that told great stories, but he had messed with the wrong people, and it ended badly for him. They believed he was not the Son of God because he was dead. There is no argument about this. Even outside all of the biblical resources, there is documented evidence that Jesus was dead. But God was about to reset the reality. Read with me again what Matthew says, just a couple of verses. The angel spoke, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen." And I love this last line. "Come and see where the body was lying." Here they were, his followers, hidden away in fear, full of regrets and disbelief and discouragement, their leaders dead, and all their hopes and dreams are buried with him. And suddenly their world is shaken when Jesus appears back into their life. That's the way it is with big events, isn't it? In an instant, things are different. They were one way this day, and now the next day, they're different. But God's resetting these disciples' reality. And Jesus is beginning to take all their fears, all their disappointment, all their discouragement, all of their regrets, all of their guilt, and all of their shame, and he's going to bury them. So what do you need Jesus to bury today? Where is it today that you need a reset? Where do you need the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to come and bring new life to your own situation? You know, as you think back in our own nation, we've had many resets. Those of you who lived through 9/11 know that the world as we experience today is radically different before 9/11. The conversation about race is different today because one man had a dream. And the world tells us that despair and discouragement are normal and that hope will always be elusive. But the message of Easter reminds us that we can be awakened to a new kind of possibility, even in the midst of our hope and despair. We can be awakened to a new kind of possibility, okay? Back to the disciples for a moment. I'm sure, as I said earlier, they loved hanging out with Jesus, hearing about the parables, hearing about the stories, seeing the healings, but they'd believed it had all come to an end when Jesus died. And now here they were, buried, anticipating going back to life as normal, except without any hope now. I wonder if any of you have been there. Maybe some of you are there. Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." God was starting the process of resetting their realities and awakening them to a new possibility. They were awakened that life with God is better than any other life. They were awakened that there is always more when it comes to God, that he will do immeasurably more than we could ever even ask or imagine in our present circumstances. And here's the amazing news, is the offer is still open today, that he is still awakening lives today, if you'll allow him to do so. So what is it that you have buried today with little or no hope for change in your own strength? Where do you need a reset? And will you allow God to awaken you to the possibility that if Jesus could bring new life 2,000 years ago, he could bring it to you? I'll be the first to admit, as I was closing this message this past week, it's hard sometimes to see past your present circumstances. And as I was sitting in my office and trying to think about how I wanted to end this message, I noticed that there was a window washer outside of my windows, and the windows were very dirty from all the debris of winter and the wind and snow and rain. What I noticed when he was finishing up is that I'd gotten used to seeing the world pretty dimly, rather unfocused, a little pale, a little washed out, a little dull. But when he finished, I looked up through my window and I could see the beautiful Council Bluffs in the distance. I could see the green grass sprouting. I could see the trees blooming. I could see the American flag waving in the distance. And I said to myself, I didn't know it could be this good. I think there are some of us here this morning that have just been dabbling in the whole faith thing, started keeping God at arm's length. But the invitation this morning is God wants to awaken a new possibility in our lives. That there is always more with God, that he wants us to go deeper and experience the adventure of walking with the God of the universe. We're going to gather over the next month, every weekend, we're going to talk about how we are all custom fit with talents and gifts that God has given to each one of us, that he's wired us uniquely And we're going to learn how God wants to use those to awaken a world to new possibilities. Will you pray with me? Lord, we're so grateful to gather today. We're so grateful that you never leave us or forsake us, that you're constantly awakening us to new possibilities. I pray, Lord, that somehow through this day, through the big event of Easter, you would reset our realities. You would awaken us to the new possibilities that you have for each one of us, and that we would accept the opportunity to be on the adventure with you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.